Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Hey, it's Thursday night. You're listening to Kayak Fish Radio. I'm Chip Gibson, the tree hugger. Let me hit the button. So folks that are out there listening to the app will hear the show live, and that should work. We have an app for iPhones, and you can get it at iTunes, or one for Android devices, which is on Google Play, and they're both free. And they've got some interesting things in there. There's kind of a wall and stuff and all. And I try to keep track of it while I'm doing the show, just in case anybody's listening and they want to send a post a message to the board that's on the app, because they don't get the chat room. But it's up and running, and you should be hearing us. So I have to keep... Somebody missed it yesterday. Sorry about that. But anyways, we're here live, and folks are checking in. Got JPSW Fish there on the line. He's usually listening and lurking in the background, but I'm going to make him talk this week. Hey, Jim, how are you tonight? He doesn't want to talk.
Man, I'm good, Chip. How are you doing?
Catch that mute button, right?
That's right.
Whatever. All right, so before the show, we were just hanging out in the studio chatting, and Jim was telling me about his trip down to Panama City to pick up a kayak for Tommy Head Jigs, who is usually in by now, but I don't see him. He'll be in shortly, probably. But so you went to PC, and where did you get the kayak from? Was it Sunjammers or somebody else?
No, it was a kayak that I had that I was keeping PC for any time that I flew down.
Oh, okay.
So I just hadn't used it in a year and a half, and I know Tommy wanted one, so I just hit Tommy up and said, hey, I got a kayak. I'll sell you. I don't ever use it. So I already got a depth finder on it, and, you know.
And that's the Manta Ray?
Yep, Manta Ray 12.
Cool.
The old style, probably the second generation that it came out with. Didn't have an elevated seat, but it does have a nice seat in it.
Right.
Like I said, I had already put a Hummingbird duck finder in it with a small battery in that front compartment. So, you know, not a bad little boat.
Cool.
Yep. So he's on his way to having two boats. His wife's going to use that one, Miss Karen.
And, I heard he's going to meet up with Yak Chum here in a little bit and pick up a boat there. In fact, I think Matt is just signing in. Is that you, Matt?
Good evening, Matt Trucks, Yak Chum, Chip.
Yak Chum checking in the house.
Going on.
How much, buddy? We're just slowly
Tommy,
working ourselves
Tommy's
into
Tommy's coming all the way up to Jersey just to buy a Cuda.
I know, right?
he's got family up here, so it's actually on the way for him.
So, yeah, that's cool, man. So that'll work for him. Make sure you... kind of pin it in the low seat section for him for a while. Tell him to keep it low until he gets used to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Until he finds the center of gravity. Then he can put it up in the high position and figure it all out all over again.
Right. The first time I got on a Cuda, it was one of Chuck's. And my big, giant head, man, and he had the seat up in the high position. I turned my head, looked right, and went over. It was like, oops. So,
yeah, it could happen if you're not used to sitting that high on the kayak, you know.
Yeah, so... But anyways, back to you, Jim. You said you got a little fishing in. You were fishing. Is this the naval support activity there with the RV and a camp and all? Is that where you were fishing right in there?
Yep, right on that flat in front of the Navy base, which would be left to where the, I guess they're hydrofoils, the ones that skim across the surface of the water with the big fans on them. Yeah,
right.
To the left of that, there's a big flat there. And... it's got some grass, but not real deep grass, and I've fished it off and on since 97. And
cool.
A high tide, low sun and high tide, you can catch sea trout, redfish, pompano, jack crevalli. I've hooked some things I couldn't turn. On the outer edge in the summer, I've seen tarpon roll. So I mean,
I've seen tarpon roll in the past at Pensacola, but try to hook one, it never happened. So.
Yeah, I mean it's very random in that area if you hook one or not. But it's a very specific area to fish, and I know you've got a military ID and you can sneak on there. But the key is you need to have a incoming tide and you need to have low sun because the grass isn't real deep, and
right.
It's got a little trough. It's got a trough area, a little bit of depression that's about 2 foot deeper than the rest of the flat, and they'll slide off in that trough or that deeper basin.
Right.
They'll hide there on the outgoing tide, and they really don't feed actively. But early in the morning with the incoming tide, I mean, I've caught redfish on top water when all I could do was hear the bait splashing in the water. I couldn't see where I cast. It was that dark.
Right.
So
yeah, that's good news because we're going to be spending 4th of July weekend right there in that campground.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, man.
Oh, man, I got all kinds of places you can fish around there.
Yeah, so, we're going to go down and spend the weekend there. It was, like, lucked out to find the spot, you know. There was nothing available anywhere in Panama City. But I got a spot there at the Naval Support Base, so that'll be cool.
Yeah, you're taking go ahead.
Yeah, and I'm going to take the toy hauler and everything and we're going to go down
and
have fun.
Make sure we sync up before you go down. I've got some very specific spots and very specific tides and time of the day for you to fish. And like I said, this time of year, there's no telling what you can catch in there. Just, everything's moving through.
Right.
But,
I'm hoping to get a little
friend
bit
of mine works at
time, too. Maybe
grab
some red snapper.
Yeah, I mean, it's the time of the year to do it if you're going to do it, you know?
Because the season is open. This will be my first red snapper season in about 3 years. So since they shortened it up to like 6 weeks now, it's kind of tough to get down and get on them. But it ought to be fun. Brad Stevens, buddy there at Sunjammers, is said that he's got a couple of Hobies we can try out there, get them off the beach. So maybe do a little trolling. I've seen some pretty nice pictures of folks hauling some fish in along the panhandle so far this year. Summer is shaping up. So.
Yeah, you might run into some Mai-Mai. You might run into some Kings. I think the cobia are pretty much gone. There's not any cobia around. Of course, it'll be sharky, it's that time of year, so it'll be sharky. You just have to keep an eye out for
that. Whenever the water's warm, it's sharky down there.
Well, you get out past that second bar, you get in the PAs and you get out past that second bar where it drops off, fairly swiftly. It gets real sharky on the backside of that, especially late afternoons.
Mm-hmm.
Just something to keep your eye on. You don't want to start bringing up half a fish. That's kind of frustrating, right?
Wouldn't be the first time I've ever done that, so.
Mm-hmm. How long are you going to be down in?
We're going to go down, probably leave Wednesday afternoon after work and stay down Thursday, Friday, Saturday, come back home on Sunday afternoon. It's just a 5 hour drive down there. It's not a big deal.
Mm-mm. That won't be bad at all.
And got a new hauler now, so I'm ready to rock, man. It's been sitting in the driveway since Father's Day, and we went and got the toy hauler. It's sitting in the driveway now. We're loading it up. Actually, we're going to leave. We're headed up to North Carolina this weekend, not to fish, but to ride, so we'll be pulling the motorcycles behind it, but got me a nice new Cummins crew cab, man. So
You got a new truck?
Yeah, man. Yep. The old faithful there, the 1995 Ford F-250 with the power stroke, kind of let me down on Memorial Day weekend. We spent 6.5 hours on the side of the road with a busted cam sensor, so I lost my faith in her. I got her fixed up and everything, and she ran well, and she could still pull, but I started looking at the new ones, and I fell in love with a Ram Cummins. So, and this sucker is set up. So, I'm gonna play with it this weekend, haul up to North Carolina, see how she does in the mountains, pulling a 10,000-pound trailer.
Oh, that Cummins turbo diesel, man! You can't kill that.
No.
Yeah. The truck will fall out of. Yeah, the truck will fall to pieces before that engine falls to pieces.
Yeah.
Right. Did you get a 3500 or a 2500?
2500. The 13s now, the 25s are got about the same specs as the 35s from the last few years. So they upgraded the frames and the suspension and everything. And I mean, I'm not a diehard Ford, Chevy, Dodge person. I just like the I really like the engine myself is what I'm liking.
Yeah.
The rest of it is pretty nice, right? So pretty happy with it so far. So driving around town, we're getting about 18 miles a gallon. I'm hoping on seeing probably a little better than 12 when we're pulling. So we'll see what happens. So she's not really broke in yet. But it's cool because the owner's manual says, the best way to break in the Cummins diesel is to hook it up to something heavy and drag it around.
Pull it. That's right.
Yeah.
Pull it.
Right?
That's right.
So, hey, Matt, you're not falling asleep over there, man. What's going on? Did you go fishing last weekend, man? How did the Heroes on the Water event go?
I did go fishing last weekend, and it was with the Heroes on the Water. Yeah, it's a good event, man. Not all the guys showed up, but about half of them did, so that was cool. They had a good time. The weather was perfect. Couldn't beat the weather, man. A little breezy in the morning and then calmed down. So it was nice.
Cool.
I ended up high hooked out of everybody.
You ended up what?
That always worked out. I ended up high hooked. I just had I had the most fish in the box.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Nice 23-inch fluke was the biggest. That summer flounder for people that don't know, up in Jersey and New York here, we call them fluke.
Uh-huh. It's a flatfish.
Yeah, flatfish. It's like a 5.5 pounder. Nice fish.
And did it taste good?
A couple smaller ones. It's decent. I say it's the substance that holds my bread together.
Nice.
It doesn't have a lot of taste. It's not a really... fishy fish, you know.
Right. But you know, a little Sacheret seasoning, a little hot sauce makes a world of difference.
That's it. I use the Bayou Cajun.
Nice.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
So, awesome.
Oh, yeah, it was a good weekend. Next event's in 2 weeks. I'm actually going to be going out of a Coast Guard station up on Sandy Hook up here in Jersey. So that'd be cool.
Sandy Hook, that name's familiar.
Yeah, it's like the little spit that kind of comes out of New Jersey and kind of points to New York City, basically.
Yeah. And so is that kind of like the main targeted species right now in Jersey? I mean, summer flounder?
Yeah, they've got the stripers around and a lot of bluefish.
Yeah. How big are the blues?
Bluefish invasion has begun. I got a fishing report in Raritan Bay. Bluefish everywhere. But the boats are still limited out on stripers, so I'm going to give out a run on Saturday, see what happens.
Right. And so what kind of size are they? I mean, because I know from fishing in off the panhandle of Florida, you get some bluefish there. We don't get the big giant ones like they do around up along the Atlantic coast, you know, North Carolina and further up your way. But, I mean, if you get into blues, whatever size you catch, that's all you'll catch. Because if they're smaller, they'll eat them. If they're bigger, they get eaten. So,
yeah, exactly. Well, right now, from the report I got, they're big blues in the bay. So they call them alligators, choppers, man.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they
so
usually...
I'm saying big, like probably like 28 to 34 inches.
That's a big blue,
big
man.
Blue.
Don't want to put your thumb in that one's mouth.
Or your hand. Your hand will fit in there, but it won't come out.
They will destroy a school of greenbacks or menhaden or cigar minnows, man. They just leave a slick on the water where they were.
Oh,
crazy.
Yeah, feeding frenzy. It's just a constant flash.
And do you eat the bluefish, or do you, it's all catch and release for you?
I don't typically eat bluefish, but if I catch it and bleed it right there, you know, I might take one a year.
Right.
Or, you know, my in-laws like them, so I usually save them for them. You just got to bleed them out, because that way the meat doesn't get that dark color to it.
Yeah. I used to...
They get really fishy tasting if you don't bleed them out.
Right. Yeah, the first time I caught one down in Pensacola, brought it home, and I didn't know about the bleeding out thing, and I thought, well, you know, this is the... It was a little strong, you know, so I said, well, I'll just put it into like a stew or a soup, you know. And we wound up calling it stinky fish soup because it was really strong, man.
Yeah.
But it was good, I mean, but it was like stinky fish soup, man, because it was really fishy smelling.
Bluefish just eat everything. I think that's why they're like that. But they, they'll tear through menhaden like they're butter.
Yeah. Yeah, they're... and. Between them and Spanish, you know, if you don't have any steel on your line, they'll be cutting through it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And same thing with the Kings down in Pensacola, man. They're real strong. I'm not a big kingfish eater. I don't know. You fish the Panhandle a lot, Jim. You keep the Kings and eat them, or just catch them for the fun?
You know, if I'm really hurting for fish, I'll catch them and try to eat them quickly because they don't last at all in the freezer.
No.
I'd rather catch some, wait till September and catch some really big Spanish. You know, last September we caught Spanish bigger than Kings we were catching, and they eat better. But I don't think any of those fish, blues, Kings, or Spanish, anything in that mackerel family, maybe wahoo, they don't really last. You know, you got to eat them fresh. If you don't even think about taking them to the freezer like a grouper or a snapper. You know what I mean?
No, if it's the next day, they're cat food.
Yeah, exactly. You just need to catch them, eat them, clean them, be done with it.
Yeah. Let me say hi to Chuck here. Hello, Chuck.
Yo.
I'm calling you out, man. Right here.
Right here, right now.
How are you, dude?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah. Had a few minutes there, so I figured I'd give you a shout.
Okay. And Chuck, I know he's just in for a few minutes here tonight, but he said that last week we were talking about a new boat that just hit the market, hit the street from Old Town Canoe. It's called the Predator. And Chuck got to see one here from their vendor. So give us your review, Chuck. You saw it today. You haven't gotten it in the water, but I mean, what do you think of it?
What'd they do? Yeah, ship one boat to every vendor? Or?
No, we got a rep that stopped by and brought it over.
I got an email from the rep up here or the vendor up here. They have one too, so I was going to definitely check it out this weekend. But go ahead, Chuck.
I think each rep got one basically to show off. It was kind of a, I mean, I guess that you can call it a production line boat. I don't know that was a boat that was ready for, you know, sale per se. I think there's still a few things they're going to possibly tweak. But my first impression of the boat is it's beautiful. The lines of the boat are nice. The layout of the boat is awesome. They've thought long and hard, apparently, of things that would make life easier for kayak fishermen above and beyond what has been done already through Native and Jackson and some of the other companies that have come out recently with frame chairs style boats and that kind of thing. There's a couple of rigging plates that were mounted onto the boat, actually six in total. Those are pretty neat. Would give you the option of all of your rail mounts, rod holders, camera mounts, whatever you're going to do to your boat to kind of customize it yourself without having to drill holes into the actual boat, much like what Hobie has done on the PA. So those will be removable, replaceable little not called starboard, because it's not starboard, but whatever kind of plastic it is that they use. Also, too, something that was interesting, the boat itself is not rotomolded. It's actually air molded or air injected or whatever they call it.
Blow molded.
There you go. Thank you. Blow molded. So it's a different process that's done. But the layout of the boat's really nice. The seating looks really nice. The difference between the high-low seating position in this boat and that is available in the Jackson and the Native boats is the way that the seat locks in place. So I can say from experience that on a few occasions getting in and out of boats with high-low seating positions, the Hobie being one of them as well, that the seat tends to want to shift a little bit or sometimes rock. And with the way that they developed this clamp system that holds the seat in place, it wouldn't allow for that to happen, which is kind of nice. Of course, they have the option also to flip the seat out of the way and stand up where the seat was, which is kind of commonplace in those boats. But overall, the hull shape was really interesting. You don't really get a sense of that off the video or off the website. It's very ride-ish, wilderness ride, that is. It's not a tunnel hull per se. It's almost like something you'd see like on Malibu's Stealth or something. Mm. You know, the way the bottom of the boat itself is designed. It looks extremely stable. The entry, the bow entry looks pretty sharp, so it should be relatively quiet. The molded front handle to lift the boat up and down, you know, to pick it up, whatever, is pretty nice. Those of you that know me know I have giant meat hands, so I was able to get my hand down inside that molded rail there and pick the boat up without any, you know, issue. The back rail is the same way. The boat comes pre-molded, or it has, the female ends of the bolts molded into the hull of the boat itself, so if you want to do a, like an anchor trolley or any other kind of mounting, type accessories, much like with some of the PA from Moby, those screw ends are already there, molded in the boats. That's pretty cool. The boat's going to come with a paddle holder as well, and it has a bar that sits behind the seat back in the back well that's going to be used for accessories, so like rod holders and things like that. We'll be able to mount to that bar.
You clamp them on, huh?
Yeah, just clamp them right onto that, and that was pretty cool. The floor itself is interesting. I made mention to the rep that, you know, I don't know how comfortable that would be to stand up in barefoot, because it's if you can picture tile.
It's like a big tire tread.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a big tire tread, or if you could picture like small tiles without any grout in between them, and spaced apart by about a quarter inch or half inch. That's about what it looks like. So with shoes on, I'm sure it's not a problem, or flip-flops, whatever, but barefoot, it may be a little annoying. But overall, the price point's going to be pretty good. It's going to come in right in line. The 13 will be right in line with the 14 Gruta and the 14 Slayer. So it'll be, I think it's, what was it? $12.99, I think, or $12.79, somewhere right now, which isn't too bad. I mean, again, that's going to compete with those two boats. And be honest, as far as the features of the boat itself, it comes with a transducer mounting area, just like most of the ocean boats do. It also has a battery bag already installed in the hull of the boat. So if you want to use a battery, you've got a bag to store it in. So, yeah, they really kind of thought of everything. They have a paddle rest, just like Jackson does on their boats. So if you want to put your paddle down or whatever, you can do that. They've got an area in the back of the boat on the transom for a for a rudder as well to mount to. So that's interesting. Overall, like I say, the boat itself for a 13-foot boat has a lot of room, a lot of space. You can get the 13-foot model that has the little mod pod deal in the center, the little, you know, hatch cover, whatever, that you can use your Scotty type accessories with, or you can go with the 12-footer that has just a flat deck. It doesn't have that center hatch.
So that's the difference.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. And then on the bow of the 13, the hatch there has a locking mechanism that basically acts almost like a vacuum. When you go to lock it, it almost like seals that front hatch, which is kind of nice. Looking at the lines of the boat and envisioning taking some swells over the bow, if you were to beach launch this thing, I don't think it'd be an issue at all. Looks like it was pretty well designed to divert as much water as possible out of the cockpit quickly. There's 1, 2, 3, including the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, including the transducer hole, scupper holes in the cockpit itself. So, and they're pretty standard size. They're going to come, the boats will come with Ocean's scupper plugs too. Got those two-way scuppers that allow the water to drain but don't allow the water to come back up. So that'll be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like I said, overall I was really, really, really impressed. I mean, when I talked to the rep a couple of months ago about their desire to put together a boat to try and compete with those other boats, you know, I was a little hesitant about having them run it underneath the Old Town names because down here, especially the Ocean / Old Town brand just hasn't really been that great. And I don't think it makes a difference what you name it. I think that they hit a home run for sure. It's one heck of a boat, man. And it'll be interesting to see because they're going to take it out to ICAST this year, which is only 18 days away, by the way. And
right.
we'll be interested to see what happens with the new product showcase if they put that boat in there. Because I don't think Hobie's got anything in the product showcase, so...
Yeah, they kind of spent their lunch money on the new PAs. So
yeah, there's some cool stuff coming from Hobie, though. I'll tell you that. I mean, I know there's some really interesting things that have been discussed, and I'm kind of excited about some of the things I've heard. And I'm not going to let any cats out of the bag, but there's a product coming out for the kayak world that. From my style of fishing, or you guys who listen that do any flats fishing, could pretty much just change the entire game. So we'll see how that works out. But that's 18 days away.
It's going to have it's a kayak with fish radar.
Yeah, no, it's pretty awesome, man. But we'll see how that turns out too, because that's another one of those things.
It has a kegerator. It's a kegerator built in, right?
It's called the Redfish Chuck Edition.
Yeah, it's a little. You can put those little mini kegs in it. You just lock and load in, you know.
It's got Jack Daniels barrel behind the seat. Now, the cast is going to be cool because unlike last year in Orlando, there's a lot of new stuff into the kayak market that's going to be displayed at ICAST this year out in Vegas. And, I know Adam Hayes, I talked to Adam earlier, he's going, and I'll be out there as well. So, you know, I'm going this time as a buyer, which is kind of
weird. Here's the thing, all right? So I can appreciate it. They did a nice job with this Predator kayak. Hobie is really hit the long ball with the PAs. But you know what? Who I want to step into the world of kayak fishing is I want these rod builders to start freaking shortening up the handles on the, you know, the butts on these rods, man. You try to get an 8.5-foot rod or an 8-foot rod, and you wind up with 2 feet of handle, you know. And if you cut it down so you got a nice 8-inch butt on the thing that you can manipulate in the kayak, you wind up losing, you know, 8 inches off of your rod. So when are they going to start?
Well, I'll tell you what's fun. Sorry, guys. I talked to some folks from product in development from Shimano about 2 years ago. And jokingly, I said, when are you guys going to come out with just a strict kayak fishing line of rods? And they're like, ha, 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 yeah, like, you know, that probably will never happen. There's not, we don't think that there's enough push for the kayak rods. And I explained to the gentleman that, listen, this kayak fishing industry is growing faster than anything that's ever been introduced to the sport of fishing. It might be a good time to go ahead and jump on board before the train starts to pass you by, basically. And they kind of kicked it around a little bit. And what I saw the following year at ICAST was more rods with shorter butts, more spinner rods with shorter butts. The conventional stuff, they still haven't caught on with that. But the spinner rods, there are quite a few rods in their lineup that have shorter butt sections on them. But definitely something I'm going to bring up at ICAST this year when I talk to some folks out there, because you're right, there's definitely a need for it. And whoever jumps on the bandwagon first and doesn't just call it a kayak rod, but builds a rod that would perform well in a kayak and give you the lifting power, but yet the finesse to be able to, you know, hoist a big fish up or pull a big redfish to you. But when he decides to surge underneath the boat, you know, you can still dip the rod tip in the water, not worry about blowing it up. So,
right.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I've got one that I built that's 8 foot, and I put like a, you know, it's not a long butt on it, but it's like, you know, probably 8.5 inches. And, you know, you get much more than 8 foot, and then you start winding up. You can really cast the hell out of it, but where it's going to go, you know, it's going to go in a general direction. You're not too accurate with it. But it's nice to have a 7.5, you know, that if you're out on the flats and you're casting to some spooky fish, or, you know, you're sitting in your boat and you need to get the tip around the end of the kayak if you're in a 14-foot boat or something, you know, and be able to deal with a fish going around, you know, going around the kayak. But the way that they put these, you know, 20-inch butts on them and stuff like that, it's like, wow. And, you know, you just can't, you know, I guess you could stick it underneath your arm and stuff, but then it gets hung up in the crate and all that kind of stuff.
Well,
but,
boom, I guess you'd call it, catching on the craze, if you will. I wouldn't doubt it if we started to see some of those conventional rods, too, that are going to be shortening up. In fact, that, if anything, I think that's probably where it really needs to be done more than anywhere else, because, like I said, the spinner rods are, if you look in any of the catalogs, most of the rod manufacturers now will offer a shorter butt section on the rod. It's just you got to order, like, instead of the rod code being, you know, CS70M2, it'll be like, you know, CS70M1 or whatever, which would, you know, give you some butt section. But, you know, traditionally all of our snapper and grouper rods we use offshore out of a boat or 8-foot boat rods for leverage. And it would be nice to see somebody come out with an 8-foot snapper rod or an 8-foot, you know, grouper rod or whatever like that for us kayak guys that want to go off the beach and stuff that has a short, you know, maybe six to eight inch butt section, as opposed to a traditional boat rod that would have 10 to 12 to even, I've seen 15 inch butt sections before. So,
yeah,
interesting. But anyhow, yeah, I just wanted to really just give you the kind of lowdown on that boat, man, because I was really excited about seeing it. And, you know, that's all I got, buddy.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for stopping in.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds good.
Absolutely.
It's always cool to see new stuff come out on the market. You know, whether you're a Hobie guy or a Cuda head, one of the pedal pals, you know, I mean, it's like.
Pedal pals.
Yeah. That's it, man. That's your new moniker, man. You're a pedal pal.
Wildy's got a boat coming out, too, by the way. They've got something different coming. So.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Wilderness has something different coming, and there's nothing different coming from Hobie that I know of. There's a couple of things you're looking to maybe improve on and do different things with, but as far as new boats coming to market, I know Nada's been working on some stuff, Wildy's been working on some stuff, and then this boat here. So But as
we got a couple more weeks. So.
As I hear more, and when we get to ICAST for sure, I'll do my due diligence in trying to get as much information as I can to pass on to you fine folks.
Well, hopefully when you guys are out there, we can get you on the show, get some live interviews or stuff like we did one year you guys went out. So.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
All right.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
All right, Chuck. Have a good one, Chuck. Redfish Chuck, Monday nights, 8 o'clock, same bat time, same bat channel, just Monday nights. He kicks it off, and we'll see him then. So, Matt, you like what's your preference on a rod? Like I said, man, I know there's all these kayaks and everything, but it's like we need to get some other parts of the industry to join in the kayak revolution, you know?
Yeah, I'm more of a conventional bait caster type of rod type of guy, you know. I really like the St. Croix Mojo Inshore rods. They have kind of a short butt on those rods, and they really work out for all the fishing that I do. So.
Yeah, I have quite a few St. Croix rods because of that, because they do have, they keep the butts on them kind of short, like about 8-9
inches. Yeah, and you got a 7-foot rod, so you can get it around the bow of a 15-foot kayak.
Absolutely. How about you, Jim? Your 2 cents?
You know, depending on where I'm fishing, if I'm heavy cover or heavy grass, like over in Louisiana, or doing some pitching for freshwater, I'm usually using a conventional rod. And then if I'm on the flats, long cast, I'll probably, you know, I carry a spinning rod with me. You know, the butt length really doesn't bother me that much if it's a little long. I do have a friend who works in Panama City who builds custom rods, who I can have him build a rod to spec. But, you know, I fly fish so much, and a 9-foot rod, there's no problem getting it around the front of a kayak. And there's no butts on those things, but, you know, getting the fish to you with a 9-foot rod is a challenge sometimes, right?
Yeah. It's always fun to see the raise the right hand real high and try to get the net down real low.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then that fish goes diving on you and you break the tip off.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, I've tried using 7-foot fly rods out of my yak, and it's too short. If you get a little tired, your back cast gets a little slack, you start bouncing stuff off the water.
Yeah.
Same with 7-8 foot rods, fly rods in a kayak, it's just no good. So, you know, 8.5 foot, 9, you're pretty much, that's about what you need. Some guys use 10-foot fly rods out of kayaks like you would a float tube. That's just,
right.
You know, it's not that accurate, and you talk about, you know, twisting your neck around trying to get a fish.
Yeah.
So,
I guess you get some distance, though.
It's like a surf rod. You know, you get a 12-foot rod, man, you can heave the thing like 100 yards, but you're not going to be hitting, you know, you're not going to be finessing a bait right in front of a redfish, you know, on the tail of a redfish there. You know, you can
like 2 or 3 ounces.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I've actually gone to shorter rods in my kayak, down to 6.5 foot and 6 foot. Believe it or not, and just if I got to get around the front, you know, I'm just scooching forward or leaning forward or using my paddle to keep the fish on same side so I don't have to run around if I don't have to. I just sold my 16-footer, and now I've got a 15.8. It's sold my tarpon and picked up an Ocean Kayak Trident 15 Angler.
That's a long reach.
And when I have my 16-foot tarpon, you know, same thing, reach around. But I try to position the boat, work a little bit more on positioning the boat and keeping it on one side if I can.
Right.
You know. So the Ocean I picked up has a rudder, which makes it a lot easier to keep that fish on one side. You know.
Yeah, you get a little more control with it.
Yep. Work the boat. Use the boat a little bit more to work the fish.
Right.
So, you know, we'll see. But I'm still, like I said, I'm still pushing a shorter rod, believe it or not. And now if I'm going to get out of the kayak and wade fish, then I'm taking a 7.5-foot spinning rod because I don't want to. I've come too close to big critters in the water with water up over my stomach that I don't do that anymore. So,
yeah.
You know.
Well, when I'm wading, I don't go any deeper than knee deep. So, I mean, And actually, the flats that I'm familiar with, if you get, that's where you want to be, right about knee deep in the water, and that's where you're going to see the fish. And a 7.5 foot rod gets the distance for you and gets you where you want to be. But if you're like, I could see like next year when we go back down for the adventure fishing tournament, I might take a shorter rod with me for a little more accuracy and throwing up underneath the mangroves and stuff like that, bouncing stuff up under the trees and all, because you can be a little bit more accurate with a shorter rod. Yeah.
And so, I'm a little more traditional in my kayak taste. I'm not into the raised seat things. I'm into my 9-year-old Tarpon had basically a depression for your butt, and you had to buy, a cushion to put in there. And the Ocean Kayak is the same way. It's just got a depression, and I bought a seat, a nice 2-inch seat to put in it. I like to keep my center of gravity very low in my kayaks. I think the Hobies are really cool because, you're in a pedal. You're not in a kayak anymore. You're in a boat. So I can see the whole raised seat, and you got the drive, and, all the bells and whistles. But when I'm in my kayak, after I sold all my power boats, I'm like, I've got one little box of lures or flies, a pair of pliers, and a file, and that's about it. Life jacket, of course, right? Appropriate safety equipment. But, I can get everything I need in one box. I don't carry a lot of stuff in my kayak, no more than 2 rods. Because I found carrying 3 rods, something gets in the way and something gets broken. Right?
Yeah, that's right. Or you wind up flipping over on the surf or something, and you lose gear.
Yeah. Right? I'll tell you another thing I quit doing. I stuck a bait with 2 trebles in my forearm one time. Went in and went out real quick. So, I didn't have to pull it out. But, when I'm in my yak and I know I'm going to be around fish that are jumping, snook, bass, stuff like that, things that could jump in the yak or throw a hook into me, I try not to fish trebles if I can help it.
Oh, dude, I don't like putting trebles up in my lap after a big fish. I can't remember the brand of hook that I got, but I got some single hooks. They're like trailer hooks. So the eyes are turned 90 degrees, so they hang real nice on the bottom of a plug. And I swapped out a bunch of my plugs that way, just so that they're just single hooks. And then, on those spooks that got like 3 rows of trebles, I'll just use 2. Sometimes on a plug, if it's got a front, they usually just get hung up on the trailer anyway. So, if they're hitting top water, I don't like throwing all those hooks up in my lap.
No, I got no use for that whatsoever. But that's just me, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So Matt,
he likes using a net and get all those trebles wrapped around in the net.
Right.
You're sitting there for like a half hour trying to untangle the lure out of the net.
Right.
Especially those 3 treble hook jobs.
So you're not throwing those big trebles for those big blues up where you live, are you? You're not like, are you single hooking like a spoon or a jig, or you're not throwing something like that on, those really big blues like that, because that would be a mess. Big teeth and big hooks.
I just throw on a spoon with a single treble, or use a Eva diamond jig with a single hook.
Right.
Yeah, the bluefish, they'll attack anything shiny.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
that's the way to go.
It's just throw it into the where they're feeding, you see the explosion, and 9 times out of 10, you're going to hook up right away. But for the striped bass, I snagged the menhaden with a weighted treble, and I just let the menhaden kind of sink with the treble, and then usually a bass will just attack it, or you catch blues that way too, and that's how I lose a lot of my weighted trebles, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. How big a menhaden are you using?
I guess they're around anywhere from 14 to 18 inches.
Yeah, that's a big bait.
Yeah, they are a big bait. They look like footballs,
We used to like when the big schools of menhaden came in around Pensacola, you'd be out there with your cast net all day. That's all you'd do, spend a whole day just catching them and salting them down. That's grouper candy, man.
It is the best bait, really, for any type of fishing.
Yeah.
I even strip them up for flounder fishing, you know.
Right. We had the, I don't know, Jim, were you around the Panhandle area when the chum churn was a big deal? You know, the big PVC pipe, you know, with the blades on it, and you throw in a bunch of fish or chum in there and chunk it up and down in the water, and the blades was like a chopper and a hopper thing, man. That was awesome, man. You take a bunch of old men Hayden and throw them in that thing, man, and it would put a slick out on the water. You'd have fish coming for miles.
Yep, fish, dolphin, everything else too, right?
Yeah. No, it's cool. But yeah. So, anyways, well, we got Tennessee. I guess it was Tennessee Creek Bridges jumped in, and now they're out. But I want to say hoorah to my Marine buddies in there, Kendall Walling for USMC. And Scuba Stan has joined us. Thanks for showing up. But coming around the corner here, pushing 9 o'clock, and I think it's like I said, tomorrow I've got a big day, got work, and then we're gonna load up and head up into the mountains. I'm actually taking a couple of rods because the one campground we stay in, it's got like a nice little trout stream behind it, so I might just kick back in a chair and put a bobber on and have a few beverages and just enjoy myself by the stream in the shade. So, but a couple weeks from now we'll be down in Panama City, be visiting Stan and Brad Stevens down there at Sun Jammers. So about Matt, you gonna, what's your plans for the weekend, man? Where's the fish biting? What's the fishing report?
I heard boats fishing the back of Raritan Bay up here and limiting out on stripers, so I'm gonna give it a shot back there. I fished there not that last weekend, but the weekend before that. That's when the river was pushing me out to the ocean over there. But from what I hear, good reports, the fish are back. So definitely going to give it a shot early morning Saturday. And
right.
If nothing's doing, I'll just go flounder fishing.
Right. Now, are you just dropping baits and just sitting them on the bottom, or are you dragging baits, you know, casting and retrieving for the flounder?
For the flounder, mainly jigging bucktails with a teaser. Gulp and squid. That works really well. And then
so
for
the
bass, trying to find the menhaden out there and snagging live line.
Cool. Yeah, so you are fishing them more like they do, like on the West Coast, when they fish for flounder, fluke, halibut.
Halibut, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's down in Florida, they fish them. Yeah, they fish them more, you know, you're doing a cast and retrieve, you're just bouncing a jig along the bottom. And
I'm just drifting and bouncing the jig off the bottom. So
cool.
It's all about the drift, finding ledges.
Right.
The fish love the structure, and they love the edges of channels. So if you have a GPS and a fish finder, those are the two best tools for finding those fish, for finding the flounder on the bottom, you know.
Right. Just, they're ambush predators.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
But, I mean, I've heard guys anchoring up and setting up a slick of menhaden using the chum pot and catching flounder that way, fluke, the summer flounder that way. I've never tried it myself. I think I might give it a shot one of these weekends. We'll see what's going on.
And that's like putting the pot down on the bottom, right? Putting the chum
exactly.
From the bottom up.
You would basically tie it to your anchor. To your kayak anchor. So it's the tide pushing the slick right to your boat. And that's set to just pull the fish in, and then you could just basically use either strip menhaden or you could jig them up that way too.
Right. Yep. Pretty much West Coast type of flounder fishing, fluke, halibut, whatever. Cool.
I think that's just the typical standard way to flounder fish everywhere.
Yeah.
Nice. That's the way I've always learned how to do it. Or, you know, you could always use the fish finder rig method with the, you just just got a like a circle hook or a like a on a, tied to a piece of leader, and then you got your swivel, and then above that, you got a slide that you hook your sinker to. And
right.
You could put your minnow and squid on there on that hook and fish like that too. That always works.
There's a rig that they use in the Georgia coastline, South Carolina, a flounder finding rig, but they use a small cork to keep the bait just off of the bottom. So you got like a 1 ounce sinker and then a short leader, probably 2 foot, with a small cork that keeps the bait just above the bottom. So you got the sinker that's bouncing along the bottom, but the bait is just swimming like right along top of it.
Yeah, I've used that method with a floating jig head or one of those like little whirly bird things you put on the leader. It's like made out of the styrofoam, and it's got the little blades on it.
Yep.
So, they use it up on the Eastern Shore too, Chip, that flounder rig.
Yeah. With the little cork to
float
it.
Eastern Shore, Maryland, they do that a lot. Yep, they do that a lot up there.
So, all right. Well, there's Tennessee Creek Bridges is back. Back on. Welcome aboard. Welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio. And we're just about running up on the front of the hour. Jim, you got plans for the weekend, man?
If it's not raining on Sunday, there's the big carp back on that flat on the Hooch, the big common carp, you know, up to 30 pounds. I might slide down there with the wife. I don't know what time the rain's going to get here Sunday. You know, they're saying Sunday evening.
Right.
And if I can get out there first thing in the morning for the trout guides, get out there with their clients, because they kind of beat up the water. They're a little noisy, and those carp are real skittish. So if I can, I mean, there's some big fish down there. No one's fished for them for years.
So, are you fly casting for them?
Yeah. The water's a foot deep to 3 feet deep on that flat where they come up on.
Right.
And they're through the spawning phase, so now they're in there grubbing around for whatever they can grub around for. So that shallow water is just a lot easier to put a 12-foot leader on and a little dark fly and lay it up right in front of their nose, you know?
Yeah.
So, like I said, the biggest one I've seen was actually not on the flat. It was out in the deep water on the main Hooch going to the flat, and it had to be pushing 40 pounds. It was huge. It was, you know, almost 4 feet long and bigger, you know, bigger round than larger diameter than your head. It was a huge carp, you know, no telling how long that thing's been in the river, but they're god awful spooky up there. They really are.
Hmm. And they're up on the north end of the Hooch.
You know where the 400 bridge is?
Yeah.
Okay. So below the 400 bridge, along Azalea Drive, where Azalea goes into Waleo, there's a flat there, and if they're not pulling water out of Morgan's Fall, they'll get up in that flat, and it's probably 1 to 3 feet deep. And there's some Kentucky bass up there and some panfish up there. But starting about the end of April, the carp start going in there, and they're either spawning, or once they get through spawning, they start grubbing around for aquatic worms and crayfish and whatever else they can suck off the bottom there.
Right.
And when they draw water out of Morgan's Fall, that flat goes dry, and they all go out into the main river, or they go down to that that lake above the Morgan Falls Dam. I can't remember the name of that little lake, but they're in that lake too. And I'm talking, people have only started fishing for them in the last 3 or 4 years. So they haven't been really beat up too bad, and they're huge. It's just like, you know, trying to catch a redfish on a flat that has been beat up because they're so spooky.
Right. Very cool.
So
I might have to give that a try once again.
Yeah, it's a quick paddle down. Put in Azalea, paddle down to the flat, ease in there real quiet, take a stakeout pole because you can't walk on that bottom. You'll sink up to your neck.
Yeah.
You know, just and you could take a spinning rod with a little crayfish, you know, a little wide gap hook with a little 3-inch crayfish without a weight on it and lay it in there and just slowly move it because they're all over that flat. They'll swim into your they run from kayaks if you're moving, but if you sit still, they will swim into your boat and hit your boat and move your boat. They're that big when they, I mean, you'll feel them, the tonk, and they'll move your boat a little bit when they swim into your boat.
Yep.
It's funny.
Cool.
So that might be my Sunday morning.
Nice. All right. Well, it does sound like a lot of fun. I know some guys that go, they love carp fishing just because it's like, you know, they call the freshwater bonefish, and they're just big old giant golden bones. But yeah, they're that big. That might be fun to try. Well,
yeah.
That's about it. And let me say,
I got
see.
A reminder for everybody.
Okay,
actually.
A reminder, go.
Yakgear.com has given KFR radio listeners a coupon for 20% off for the rest of the month. Code is Redfish. And that was
the
on Redfish Chuck Show on Monday. And then last night, Bull Bay Rods on the Low Sodium Show, they gave some sort of discount to the KFR radio listeners. I'm not sure what the discount was, but if you just enter the code KFR in the shopping cart at bullbayrods.com, you can redeem some sort of percentage off your order there. That's just a reminder. I believe that's just for this week.
Okay. Nice. Well, that
a little perk for KFR listeners.
Awesome. Appreciate it. And folks, get that word out. So, well, it's been a heck of a week this week. We've actually had some pretty nice weather. So if you haven't been out fishing and you hadn't put the kayaks in the water, it's time to do it. In fact, I still got a little bit of daylight left here, so I'm going to go out and work on putting the Yakima racks on my new truck. So I appreciate everybody showing up. Stan, Kendall, Jim, Tennessee Creek Bridges, welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio. Look forward to seeing you. We have shows Monday through Thursday, 8 o'clock, right here. There's an app, too, you can download. And then we've got all of our podcasts. All the shows are podcasts, so you can listen to some of the back, the early days of Kayak Fishing Radio. And don't forget, we got a boondoggle coming up here. We're inside of... coming up on two-digit midgets here. We're about 100 in a couple of days to the boondoggle, 11 to 14 October. We're going to be Big Lagoon State Park between Pensacola and Perdido Key. The Perdido Key Chamber of Commerce is real nice about hosting us down there. Got some great sponsors and exhibitors that are going to be showing up. If you are in the industry and you'd like to exhibit at a boondoggle, we're going to try that out this time. Yakangler.com/boondoggle. And all the information is right there. Registration's online. There are a few campsites left from what I understand, but I think we're pretty close to about 200 people already signed up to join us down there for the boondoggle. So we're going to have a great time. We look forward to doing that. We do two a year. And we'll announce the February one, hopefully, when we get down there. So, again, Jim, Matt, good to see you guys or listen to you again this week. And we'll see you next time. I think that's it for tonight. Good night, y'all. All right. Tight lines. Take a kid fishing. We'll see you next week. Monday night, Chuck will kick it off. Good night.